Space. A wondrous realm where heroes are forged. A place of peril and adventure and... I can't do this!
Okay, cut!
And now it's time for the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. This is Frederick the Announcer, who is being handsomely paid in food and is wonderfully eating it right now. And I am here to introduce you to UberNerd527. And now here he is, UberNerd527.
Hey, hey, arcaders, it's UberNerd527 and...
Danny the Ultrasonic Player.
And we're both here recording an episode of the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast, the podcast where we get together and talk about all things animated, whether it be TV, movies, video games, or we even talk about comics maybe sometimes, and sometimes we even talk about web shows as well, so we're all kind of in the mix here. Now, before we get started, several things we want to do. First, we want to apologize real quick. If you're hearing noises in the background, or if you're hearing music or anything like that, that is because we're doing some guerrilla recording right now.
Yep.
So we are in the middle of a restaurant, so we're going to be doing kind of a slightly a dinner cast, if you will.
Yeah.
But we wanted to get a fresh perspective on what we're going to be talking about today. So that's why we're in the middle of this. So again, I apologize for any music that's in the background, or any voices that you hear, or any noises that you may hear as well. But unfortunately, that could not be helped, okay? Now, today's subject for our podcast is something very, very special to myself, and of course, Danny the Ultrasonic Player. We are talking about an animated movie. Now, last month, we talked about two animated movies, the Peanuts movie and Zootopia, with my Uber mom. And I think it turned out really, really great, and... I wanted to do it again, and then I remembered that the end of April came a movie that I have been waiting for a very, very long time, and that, of course, movie is Ratchet and Clank. And because I'm a huge video game fan, Ratchet and Clank has been a video game that I really, really enjoy. So, on the episode today, we're going to be talking about Ratchet and Clank. Now, first, we're going to start off with talking a little bit about our histories with the video game and kind of give you a little bit of background of what we know about the video game. Then, we're going to do a spoiler-free review of the movie. And then we're going to go into a little bit more spoilers near the end, so that way you can go watch the movie yourself and come back if you and then listen to the rest of the podcast, okay? So, let's start off with our history with Ratchet and Clank, the video game. So, Danny, why don't you tell us a little bit about your history with Ratchet and Clank?
Well, for me, my history is actually a pretty short one, because for me, my first and only real exposure to Ratchet and Clank was the original 2002 game for the PlayStation 1. That's right, folks, the original PlayStation. But even though that was the only game I played, it was an amazing and just all-out fun game, you know, because it had a perfect mixture of platforming mixed with third-person shooting and some really cool, wacky, cartoon-like like action going on. So it was really the kind of game that harkened back to some of the classic platforming games where it's a lot of fun, a lot of action and adventure, but it didn't take itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And just the idea of being able to switch between these weapons and the way you would select them, especially if you had them on hand, the way they would just come out, somehow appear and just all of a sudden just... Like, the way it would almost assemble itself was just so cool. Like, those cool little animation things. And of course, come on, let's be honest. Who doesn't want to take a really cool-looking wrench and beat up bad guys with it? I mean, come on, that's just... I mean, that's hardcore right there.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. Now, for me, Ratchet and Clank has been a series of video games that I didn't want to get into at first, but slowly but surely, it kind of gravitated towards it. I actually did not play Ratchet and Clank until very late in the game. In fact, I didn't even get a PlayStation 2 until pretty much right before Kingdom Hearts 2 came out. Once Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, I had my PlayStation 2. I had Kingdom Hearts 1 already beaten and ready to go. And of course, I had to get Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yep.
In fact, actually, I had actually bought the first Kingdom Hearts game because I didn't own a PlayStation 2. My father was a youth minister, and the youth group had a PlayStation 2. And my mom actually worked at the church, and on Sundays I would go help her out, and a lot of times she kind of let me go and just do my own thing for a little bit. And I actually bought Kingdom Hearts, and I would bring it to our youth room and just sit there and play it on my off times so that I could actually play through the game, which was really fun. But we're not talking about Kingdom Hearts. We're talking about Ratchet & Clank. So I didn't get Ratchet & Clank until I was out of high school and into college. So this was kind of around 2004, 2005 that I started playing PlayStation 2 games. I started off with some games that I really wanted to play, like Jak and Daxter, Kingdom Hearts, games like that were on the PlayStation 2. And then I started kind of wondering about this Ratchet & Clank and what is this all about. Now, I couldn't tell you what the first game I played was, because I to tell you the truth, I really don't remember what the first game was. I don't remember what the first game I ever played, Ratchet & Clank, was. However, I will tell you that I didn't really get into the Ratchet & Clank series until the PlayStation 3. Now, again, just like with the PlayStation 2, I didn't get the PlayStation 3 till very close to the end of its lifespan. I got a PlayStation 3, and then one of the games that everyone was talking about for the PlayStation 3 was the Ratchet & Clank Future series. Now, they did a trilogy of video games for the PlayStation 3, and I got them. And let me tell you, those were probably some of the best games for the PlayStation 3. I really, really enjoyed those games. Now, obviously, just like any other game, there are some good points, there's some bad points, but for the most part, that game for me really, really singed. Gameplay-wise, story-wise, and whatnot, it was just a really fun game. Now, I will say, the Ratchet & Clank series has never really been too big on story, too much. For those of you who have never played the game, Ratchet & Clank is about a Lombax, which is kind of looks like a fox mixed with a cat, mixed with a dog, mixed with a lynx. He's kind of a mixer, amalgamation of all kinds of different animals, named Ratchet. And a robot, his robot partner named Clank. And for most of the game, Clank actually kind of attaches to your back and kind of looks like a backpack, and you just kind of run around with him. And now the core of the video game series is it's kind of a third-person shooter mixed with a platformer. So very similar to Mario 64 and Jak and Daxter and Kingdom Hearts,
yep,
where you have some platforming elements. And for those of you who don't know what that means, platforming is just a fancy term for like jumping from one thing to another, getting from point A to point B, while going through like a lot of different traps, pits, stuff like that. A good example of that would be games like Mario Brothers. Sonic is a platformer. You know, different games like that. Now, this mixed that platforming genre, which was coming kind of back, that 3D platformer with third-person shooters. And third-person shooter games are games where you look over the shoulder of the character that you're playing, and you can target games like Gears of War and
Resident Evil
and Mass Effect. These are all third-person shooters, so these are some good examples of that as well. So it mixes these two games into one. And the other fact that it is a game that plays pretty much like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Pretty much.
It's pretty much a Saturday morning cartoon. There's no real story meat until you get into Ratchet & Clank Future. There's really no story meat. There's not really much character development or anything like that. It's just go in, guns a-blazing, pun intended, and just shoot up as many bad guys as you can and get from one place to the other. you know, and just go to different, you go to different planets with different things, just seeing all kinds of different aliens and robots, and it's just a fun turn off your brain and have fun game, yeah. Right?
Yep.
And I, one of the things I love about the Ratchet & Clank series is its weaponry.
Oh, yeah.
I love some of those weapons. Those weapons are so cool and so imaginative. And there's a kind of a mix of, like, more serious weapons,
yeah.
and just flat-out silly weapons.
Yep.
So there's a good mix of stuff in there. Now, again, my favorite game in the series was the Ratchet & Clank Future games, which added a lot to the Ratchet & Clank games. Like, for instance, I don't know if it was in this specific series that they added this or was it was in before, but you get to level up your guns. So the more you use a gun, the more powerful it gets.
Yeah.
So you can do all kinds of different things. You can bring it up and make it even better. And so it was kind of just a unique little mix. And that's what I loved about these games, is it just was a fun, turn off your brain, have fun kind of game.
Yep.
And I just really loved it. And one of the things I also loved about the game was it brought a lot of voice actors and actresses that I absolutely adore into the game as well. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we actually talk about the movie.
Yep.
But if you haven't played Ratchet & Clank, I highly recommend it. There is a HD collection out for the PlayStation 3 where you get the first three games. But if you've never played it before and you have a PlayStation 4, they do have a game out now that is basically playing through the movie, which is kind of a retelling of the first game. So if you start off with Ratchet & Clank for the PlayStation 4, you're not going to miss much. But if you want to go back and have a nice nostalgia trip,
definitely
pick up that collection. You can get it pretty cheap now, used. You can get it like for less than $20, I think. So I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Now, I've talked for a while.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into our spoiler-free Ratchet & Clank review. Okay,
yep.
So no spoilers. So, Danny, why don't you just very quickly give a summary of this movie?
Well, the best way to summarize this film is that it is just a fun, comedic, slightly over the top, but all in good taste movie. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and if you are a fan of the games, then you will love this film.
Right.
I mean, that's the best way I can summarize this film.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the movie. First of all, let's talk about the voice actors. Now, we talked a little bit about that when we talked about the games, how they got a lot of really good voice actors and actresses to come in and play these characters. And one of the things I love about this movie is that they got as many of the original voice actors as they possibly could.
Yep, they did.
Including James Arnold Taylor as Ratchet,
mm-hmm.
and your favorites.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, David Kaye. Yep, that's right. If you just heard it, that is the impression of Megatron, specifically Beast Wars Megatron, for those of you who are fans of that saga.
Yeah.
Yep, which is funny because the very same guy who does Beast Wars Megatron also voices Clank, which is kind of funny because when you hear them, you couldn't think of two more voices that are very different. But yet, David Kaye can pull it off, and of course on one of Rob Paulsen's podcast episodes, he pretty much does it right then and there, and that was the first time that I actually had heard that. Yes, he does do the voice of the robot, Clank.
Yeah, and I think for the voice acting cast, I really kind of enjoyed them. I don't think for the most part I was ever disappointed by the voice acting cast. I think both you and I agree that the stars of the movie, though, are James Arnold Taylor and David Kaye.
Yes.
I think they really stole that movie.
They really did.
And James Arnold Taylor is a voice actor that I've been following for a very long time. He was not actually the original voice actor to play Ratchet. In the first game, he was played by
Mikey Kelly.
And then after starting with the second game and moving on, he played Ratchet & Clank pretty much since that second game, and I really love him as Ratchet. I can't, like, see anyone else as Ratchet
No.
Even when I went back and played it in the HD collection, I was like, who's that guy?
Yep.
Is that like Ratchet?
Yep.
But anyways, let's talk a little bit about James Arnold Taylor, because I really like this voice actor. He is so awesome at what he does. And not only that, but he understands the fan base.
He really does,
He understands
As most fans. Voice actors do,
And he's definitely, I've met a few of my voice acting heroes,
mm-hmm.
Rob Paulsen being one of them. I've met him. He is a very cool guy. I got his autograph. He signed my Bravo Man webcomic book, which I absolutely love. And for those of you who've never heard of Bravo Man, don't worry, it's fine. But look it up on YouTube; they're really funny. But anyways, he's another one of those voice actors that I would really, really love to meet this guy, because he has done so many characters. Not throughout my childhood, pretty much, you know?
Yeah, essentially.
From characters like Johnny Test to Ratchet to... he did Fred Flintstone. You know, Fred Flintstone, for crying out loud. He did... He's done so many. But I think the one role that he's known for the most, that he's very famous for, is Obi-Wan Kenobi from the Clone Wars series. Now, I love Clone Wars.
Yep, me too.
I was a little afraid when I saw the first movie. But I think the reason why the movie and pretty much the first season of the show was a little bit is because they didn't really know who they were targeting, what audience they were targeting.
Yeah.
They were just kind of experimenting.
Yeah.
And even though it still didn't kill my love of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I think that one of the breakout stars from that show is definitely James Arnold Taylor.
Yep.
He did Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I just really just enjoy him as Obi-Wan Kenobi. He gets that dry wit that Obi-Wan has, and that also kind of that commanding, almost presence that Obi-Wan has.
Yeah.
And also kind of that friendliness as well.
Yeah.
He's a friendly guy, you know. But he's such a great voice actor.
He really is.
And to hear him, I remember one of my favorite things about Star Wars weekends.
Yeah.
Here in Orlando is I got to see him do a show called Obi-Wan and Beyond.
Mm.
And Obi-Wan and Beyond was this kind of like one man show where he would get up and he would talk about voice acting and how voice acting was and the process and kind of how to do this. And then he went into this whole thing where he did 100 voices.
Yep.
And going from one voice to the next. And he did 100 voices right there in front of you. And you just, your mind was just blown.
Yep.
On how many voices he's done. You know, and he's done a whole span of different characters.
Yep. Many.
You know, Tidus from Final Fantasy X.
Yep.
And... so, 100. I mean, he's done Tidus and Johnny Bravo and a slew of other characters. He's been in video games and movies and television and commercials, and he's done it all.
Yep.
You know, and to see this man up on the stage, but not only just hear him do his voices and do this shtick, but also to sit there and kind of inspire you.
Yes.
To go out there and kind of do your own thing. And it just seems to me like he's a very down-to-earth guy. And I really did... he is definitely one of those voice actors I would absolutely love to meet. I was actually a little disappointed because last year was the last Star Wars weekends. And I tried so very hard to meet him and I was unable to. I hope to actually meet him and one of these days. But he definitely was the breakout star for me. What did you think?
Yeah,
Now, while I never had a chance to go to any of James's shows, but I did get a chance to see on YouTube just a snippet of some of the things he does, specifically the how he talks about voices being tones and how you can switch from one tone to the next, and it's just like, seriously, but then again, it's almost kind of like when you look at any voice actor, specifically like Frank Welker or even Corey Burton. Or Rob Paulsen or Maurice LaMarche, and just the voices they go through. James has got that in spades. How he's able to do it. And it's funny because when you look at him, he doesn't look like the kind of guy that you would think of that could do all that, but yet he's able to pull it off.
Yeah, and he does such a great job as Ratchet in this movie. I really did enjoy him as it. Now let's talk about some of the voice cast that are in the movie. So David Kane, I'll let you to talk a little bit more about him.
With David Kane, his portrayal of Clank, and again, since I have not heard any of the other, aside from the time in which he did that thing on Rob Paulsen's podcast, I wasn't too familiar with the character Clank because, again, the game I played, he didn't talk. But when I heard him do it, and then I'll never forget hearing him on Rob Paulsen's podcast when he did Clank's voice, and then going back and hearing him in this film, he hit all the right chords, the right nuances, everything that fans recognize about Clank, you're gonna hear that right here in this film.
Definitely.
And that really is a credit to both David Kay and even the writers, and because clearly the writers knew, they obviously understood this character very good and just allowed David Kay to just let loose, and it showed. It really, really showed.
And they even had some really big names in this movie too, like for instance Sylvester Stallone.
Yep.
And Paul Giamatti,
yeah.
And John Goodman,
Rosario Dawson.
Dawson was in this as well. And I don't think I was disappointed by any of the voice actors or actresses that was in this movie.
No, not at all.
I think that all of them did a very good job. But I really think out of all of them, those two were probably the best.
Yeah, they were hands down. James and David both they owned it. They carried that film. Which that's another thing too. I mean, because normally when you think of these animated films, you usually put the stars in the starring roles,
right?
And you would probably have somebody else do Ratchet and Clank's voice. Who though, I have no idea. But the thing is, yeah. On the one hand, putting those names even in those lead roles would work on the surface. But the thing is, they aside from very few exceptions. There aren't that many big names that would be able to carry, that would be able to play the animated characters the way we fans like, mm-hmm. and by extension, be able to carry the film in a way that fans will enjoy.
Right. It's not a name in front of the kiosk, which I kind of enjoyed. I also want to give a very quick shout out to Jim Ward, who played Quark, Captain Quark, who's been Captain Quark for most of the Ratchet and Clank games, if not all of them, and he does such a good job in that role as Captain Quark. I just really enjoyed him as that character so much. So, for those of you who have not played the games, this is a retelling of the first original game, and to tell you the truth, and I think you agree with me, this sticks very, very close to the original video game. They don't stray very, very far from the actual first game. I think the coolest fact about this movie is that this movie and the game that came out for the PlayStation 4 at the same time were actually developed at the same time.
Yeah.
So they actually used a lot of the models, the CG models that they used for the movie, they actually used for the video game as well, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because usually, when you think of video game tie-ins with movies, there's usually kind of like there is a little bit of a disconnect at times. But again, because we're dealing pretty much with a video game property, you know, anyway, mm-hmm. that's pretty that works because right. that means that both the developers and the filmmakers are both pretty much
working together.
Yeah, working together. Pretty much either, I don't know if the word is in sync or just in simpatico with each other, right. where they're just able to work on the same page. And I wouldn't be surprised if behind the scenes they may have traded ideas.
Right, and the people in charge of this movie were Sony, was PlayStation.
Ah, you know, okay, well there you go.
And Insomniac Games, because you saw their logos at the beginning of
yes.
that movie.
Yes.
And at the end of it as well. So I really think that they tried very hard to keep this as close to it as you can. All right. Now, would you, Danny the Ultra Sonic Player.
Yep.
Would you recommend this to a person who has never seen this game or never even heard of this game?
Well, unfortunately, not so much.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because as fun as the movie is, and it's loads of fun, but the thing is, the story and the characters really will only really begin to make sense if you have played the games and are a fan of the character. Mm. That being said, though, that's not to say that there isn't, by nature, that's not to say that there isn't, that you can't, you know, put it, you know, go and watch this movie cold and not get an enjoyment out of it. But in my opinion, and again, this is only my opinion, unless you're a fan of the games, the characters and the story setting and everything, it's not really going to make much sense.
Right.
And you might feel like, okay, what is this movie about and whatnot, so really, I mean, to me, I see it more as just more as a love letter to the fans,
mm-hmm.
and the best kind of love letter,
right.
you know, kind of like as Disney's Wreck-It Ralph was a love letter to the old and nostalgic and the classic video games, and believe you me, that was another one.
Right.
But unlike Wreck-It Ralph, this one doesn't have too much of a jumping on point for audiences who are not familiar with these characters.
Right.
With Wreck-It Ralph, you don't have to be. But with Ratchet Clank, you do.
This was a movie made for fans.
Yeah.
And fans of the video game. However, I do also think, though, if you have a small child in your life, if you have a child, any kind of kid, I think that they will enjoy this.
I think
that this is a movie. Now, my opinion is pretty much along the same way as... Although, I wouldn't recommend this to any kind of movie connoisseur. Like, if you're a movie connoisseur that wants to sit down and think about the movie and ponder
yeah.
the mysteries of life...
Yeah, and try to look for the deeper meaning.
Right, right. This is not that movie.
No, it's not.
This movie is like a lot of movies that I enjoy. This movie is like the giant monster movies and the kind of action-oriented movies where you don't have to think about anything. Just
no.
sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Yep.
I think the best part of this is it's like seeing a Saturday morning cartoon in theaters.
Pretty much. And the best and it's the best kind of Saturday morning cartoon
right.
where you can just sit back and be entertained and just enjoy.
Yeah, and one of the complaints that I heard from critics about the movie was that it was corny, that it was very like jokey, but you knew where the jokes were going. And my after reading this, my reaction was, have you guys played the game?
apparently not, because I mean, going back to what I said before and what you said
right,
too.
Right.
Again, unless you're a fan of these games and
right.
have played them. You're not really going to get an understanding of what the characters are or even what the jokes even mean.
Right, right.
Fans will get it, but the outside audience is not so much.
I think if you're a kid, you're going to love this movie. If you're an adult and you're looking for a deeper story meaning, you're not going to get it.
No.
If you're a fan of Saturday morning cartoons and just want to sit back for an hour and a half and just have fun, just kind of turn off your brain and just have fun, this is the movie for you.
Yep.
This is totally... the movie for you.
Yep.
I enjoyed the movie because I knew going into it that it was going to be corny.
Yes.
That it was going to be childish at times.
Yeah.
That there were going to be jokes that came up, and I knew what the joke was going to be.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because to me, it was just a fun
movie.
Exactly.
So, for those of you out there who have no interest in seeing movies where you don't have to think about things, this is not for you.
Yeah.
But if you just want to sit back, have fun, and just not even worry about too much,
yeah,
this is a great, great movie, and it really does entertain. I felt like I got my money's worth. And it also kind of really, I think that's probably the one thing that Sony wanted the most.
Yeah, pretty much.
It wanted me to, I want to go back and play those video games now.
Yeah, and I think that was the idea by design.
Right. So, all right. Now, if you are listening to this and you have not seen the movie and you want to see the movie, this is the time that you need to stop listening to this podcast because we are about to spoil the entire movie for you. So, if you want to continue listening, just be fair warned, we are about to spoil everything about this movie, okay? So you have been fair warned, so I want no complaints on mine. So please please know that right now, okay? So I'm giving you a count to three. Three, two, one. All right, so now we're in spoiler territory, all right?
That's right.
We're about to spoil this whole movie all the way up and down. Okay, so Ratchet and Clank, what was your favorite scene in that movie?
Well, to me, my favorite scene was, or I don't really have one specific favorite scene, but I guess if I can narrow it down, it's actually in the very beginning where Ratchet is just kind of, you know, tinkering away at things and just kind of like, or specifically the moment where he's kind of just looking up at the stars and just kind of like musing a little bit and kind of off at his thoughts. I really like that because it really shows that you have this character who is clearly a gifted mechanic. And right away, you find that out really quickly, that the guy knows his way around tinkering things. But you also get a sense that he really feels that he was meant for something more.
Uh-huh.
That there's more to... He really feels that there's more to his own life than just sitting in a garage and tinkering with things.
Right.
And you find out really quickly that what he would love to do is be one of those spacefaring heroes, like his big idol, Captain Quark.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the one scene that you can really narrow down. I mean, that and also the many other moments that he has in which he's just really kind of by himself and just kind of like you really get a chance to see what kind of goes on and in his head and just his general feelings about things.
Right.
Which progress as the movie goes on.
Right. And just to talk a little bit about I think probably my favorite scene in the movie, probably my favorite serious scene has to be the moment when he goes for the ranger tryouts and he gets kicked out and literally gets told, yeah, no. And gets told by his hero, you know, no, you don't have what it takes to be a hero. And he just goes back to the garage and, you know, the guy is there who's kind of like his father figure, I guess.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the original games as far as I remember.
Hmm.
Just that look on his face and just disappointment. And then all of a sudden, just Ratchet, Clank comes literally crashing into his life. And
yeah.
Because of Clank, They now go into this whole adventure.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was kind of cool. I think Ratchet's introduction was done very, very well because you see that he's a very excitable Lombax.
Yeah.
You know?
He really is.
He always wants to do big things.
Yep.
He always wants to do, you know, if he's going to fix your car, he's not just gonna fix the ejector seat. He's gonna fix the entire thing.
Yeah,
and he's gonna make it better and bigger and more powerful than it was before.
Yeah,
no, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but he doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah,
and I think that's his kind of character flaw through that. Yeah. But I love that first scene is when he fixes this old man's spaceship.
Yeah,
and all he wanted was the ejector seat fixed.
Yeah.
And Ratchet literally, like, rebuilt this entire spaceship from the ground up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole chase scene through the desert and...
Yep.
You know, the car going haywire and just,
yep.
you know, flying
yep.
flying through the canyon. I just thought it was such an interesting moment in that.
Yep.
I think another very awesome moment was when Ratchet and Clank save everybody from the robots when they use the magnet that they had
yep.
introduced at the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
And they use that magnet... to kind of attract all the bad guys,
yeah.
and then he steered the ship towards the bigger ship and
yeah.
literally dropped all the robots right on
yeah.
top of it, blowing
yep.
it up.
Yep.
I thought that scene was done very well.
Yeah.
And looked very pretty.
Yeah.
And it even had like shaky cam, and you know, it just looked really, really
yeah.
cool. So I really did enjoy that part of it. The villains. I didn't really like Chairman Drax.
Mm.
No, I didn't really like him in the original game either.
No.
So, I didn't really like him. However, Dr. Nefarious, who is in the game, and he's been the bad guy for several different video games, I love that character.
Mm.
And I think they fleshed him out even more in this movie than they have before.
Yeah.
I really get a sense of who he is, and
yeah.
I really loved his character design.
Mm.
His character design was really cool looking.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it at first, but the Dr. Nefarious that they showed in the movie
yeah.
Was not the Dr. Nefarious that was in other games.
No.
Later on, though, you do get to see that Dr. Nefarious, and
yes.
then it was like, oh!
Yep.
I was like, oh,
yep.
okay! I think another thing that I love the most is the text when it tells you what planet you're on or
yeah.
where you're from, where
yep.
you're going, right? Where the setting of the scene is.
Yep.
I love how it broke the fourth wall
oh, yeah.
continuously.
Oh, yeah.
How it would tell you, like the population going down as all the people were evacuating the
yep.
one planet. Or,
yep.
or you know, when they went to... I can't remember the name of the planet at all.
Yeah.
I think it was Solaris? I don't remember. Anyway, so the main planet, when I saw that planet for the first time,
yep.
I was so happy because that was the planet that was in Ratchet and Clank Future. And
yeah.
you got to run around that planet. And I remember, you know, playing through it and going, oh my gosh, that is the planet I was on.
Yep.
I remember that. I remember doing this.
Yep.
So I think all the scenery was done very well. I think all the character models looked spot on and
yeah.
almost very, in a weird way, almost very realistic. If you can think, if you really, like the clothes, you could see the folds and the seams and the, you know, just every little piece and part of it. And I kind of really enjoyed that about that movie. The art direction was really great and very spot on.
Yeah.
And it just looked beautiful.
Yeah, it really did. You know what? You're right. Yeah, yeah. Because I didn't take too much notice to those details, but now that you brought it up, yeah. Looking back, yeah, yeah. You could see like yeah.
Yeah, I remember that scene where Ratchet's flying the ship around the planet, getting rid of the robots.
Yeah.
You could see like the stitches in the leather chairs that they were sitting in, and you could see like the little creases of leather, and
yeah.
it just looked really cool.
Yeah.
Almost like you could sit there and just touch it, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the metals just looked really kind of, you know, very detailed.
Yeah.
And it just, they did a great job.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing to do because usually, because sometimes when you put too much detail, it all of a sudden starts going into like, almost, dare I say it, photoreal.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is a cartoon feel to this thing in the sense that it's, again, because it's not like an uber, because it's not really one of those uber serious films, You know, but the fact that they would spend that much time on detail really shows.
Right.
And what's cool about it is that the level of detail doesn't detract from the feel.
Right.
And as well as the just the look of what this universe is and who the characters are. And that's a tricky thing to do, and they pulled it off.
Right. And again, if you're looking for a Pixar movie that tugs at your heartstrings and something like that, this is not that. But
no.
If you're just looking for something fun, this is really, really great. I even love that they had a little bit of character development.
Yeah,
not much. But a little.
Yeah.
But
it fit.
It fit. You know, that they had jokes that were corny.
Yep.
But I loved it. I think one of my favorite jokes, though, and I think the one joke that I think everyone in the theater gasped when it happened was... there's a part where right before Ratchet and Clank save everyone from the robots, Clank is trying to see what kind of species that Ratchet is, and he can't find it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you played Ratchet and Clank, you know why.
Yeah.
But if you played Ratchet and Clank Future, you know why.
Yeah.
But as he's searching through different species, there's a small... video game cameo in there, and since we're spoiling it all, and I've warned you, I'm going to warn you again, don't listen to this if you don't want this spoiled, but first Daxter shows up.
Yep.
Which I thought was fun.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
And then Sly Cooper showed up after him.
Yeah.
Now, that got me to thinking.
Yeah.
Sly Cooper was announced at the same, they were doing a Sly Cooper movie at the same time that they were doing Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
So... I know that Sly Cooper will be coming soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Hopefully it wasn't canceled.
Yeah.
Because it looked really cool from the preview that I saw.
Yeah.
Okay? But if that's true and Sly Cooper is next...
Yeah.
Does that mean, dare I say it, that we're going to get a Jack and Daxter movie?
See, I mean, for me, also having played the first Jack and Daxter film, that would be great. Especially considering what kind of character Daxter is, and from what little I and from what I do know about that character specifically, you'd have yourself like a buddy comedy. It's like it'd be like one of those action comedies where what's the word? It's like specifically one of those buddy comedies where one character's just like the. I mean, I don't want to say.
It's a buddy cop movie.
Where one of the characters is a little bit more straight laced,
right.
And then you have the other one who's just a zany Chris Tucker, Chris Rock type guy, who's just all over the place, but chews the scenery and steals the show. I mean,
Jack and Daxter was one of the best adventure games almost on par with. And I know I'm probably going to get flack online for this. Almost on par with The Legend of Zelda, in my opinion. Jack and Daxter was done so well. All three games were done so good. And, yeah, I do know that The Last Frontier and games that they tried to do afterwards weren't as good.
Yeah.
Although I will say that Jack X is probably one of the best kart racing games under Mario Kart, and I don't care if I get flagged for that.
Yeah.
Because that game was really, really cool. In fact, they have Ratchet and Clank do have a vehicle in that. You can actually play Ratchet and Clank in that game, so that they make a little cameo in the game. But anyways, they've actually made cameos in Ratchet and Clank. Have made cameos in Jack Daxter, and Jack Daxter have made cameos in Ratchet and Clank too, so and then of course them meeting up in the Move Heroes, and then also fighting in PlayStation Battle Royale
was the one.
But I if they made a Jack and Daxter movie, if they announced that at E3 this year, I'm probably going to squeal.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you. I mean, granted, I mean, nothing's really set in stone,
right.
And I guess we'll just have to wait and see how both Ratchet Clank and Sly Cooper do in the long run, and I think that'll probably determine specifically what they'll decide to do it.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, but then again, with Jack and Daxter, the possibilities are endless. I mean, they don't even have to do necessarily a full-fledged movie or even an animated series. They could just do like a series of shorts.
Yeah.
To where I mean, because again, like I said, going back to, from what I since I granted, I only played the first Jack and Daxter game, but
the few scenes that I saw with Daxter, the guy just comes across as being that smart aleck, wisecracking sidekick that he's annoying, but on the other hand, you couldn't get the job done without him. And whatnot. So, I mean, it's just, again, the possibilities are endless. Whether or not we'll actually see those plans come to fruition, or, excuse me, ideas come to fruition, well, that's a whole other story altogether. But again, worst case scenario, even if that was just done as a little Easter egg to the fans, that's fine by me.
Okay, now, I looked up some information while you were talking.
Yeah.
Now, according to this, Sly Cooper's movie is actually supposed to come out sometime this year.
Okay.
Now, I've not heard anything on this movie yet. In fact, I don't think there's been a lot of noise about this yet.
Yeah.
But kind of the Ratchet and Clank movie kind of got... people were wondering about that movie for a long time, and finally Sony's like, well, it's coming out this year.
Okay, well, I think in that instance that they might have decided to play things close to the chest to where they don't really reveal that much information until they feel it's time. And I guess they're kind of following the same formula that Lucasfilm did with Star Wars, where you don't really get much information until they decide to put out the info.
Right.
Which is a very tricky thing to do, because in a world where Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are pretty much rule the world, you know, that's a very tricky thing to do.
Right.
But again, the fact that they would play things close to the chest, I think in a way that really works. Mm. Because how many times do studios tend to put things out and usually tend to kind of shoot themselves in the foot by putting out too much information?
Right, right.
By putting out very little, I think that's actually a good move, because then that will naturally generate speculation, be like, okay, well, what's this going on? What's this about?
Right.
And then they can put out the information at their own pace.
Right. I just looked it up. I just went to the actual official Sly Cooper movie website.
Yeah, wow.
And they said it's coming out this year.
Okay.
According to what I've found on Google, and again, take it or leave it because it's the internet, there's only one person who is cast, and that's Ian James Corlett.
Oh, okay, another Beast Wars alumni.
So
he's pretty good.
Yeah, so he's the only one confirmed for the cast right now. So we'll see.
Okay.
I do think that if this is coming out this year, if this is true that this is coming out this year, we will probably, if not likely, hear about this movie probably at E3. Hmm. I think that's almost a given.
Yeah.
I think that we're gonna hear about the movie at E3 today.
Right.
This year. So, well, we're gonna see. I'm kind of excited. It's gonna be made by the exact same people who did Ratchet and Clank.
Okay, so that works, because that's another thing too. If you have the right people who are intimate with the material, and they get it, they get the ethos, they get who these characters are, then again, you're going to have a good set of movies. Now, going back to, you know, what we've been saying ad nauseum, you know, are these films for everybody? Probably not, but it is definitely for the fans. If you're a fan of these games, then more than likely you're going to enjoy Sly Cooper just as much as you'll enjoy Jack and Daxter. Of course, granted, we still have to see a teaser, you know, and whatnot to really get a feel for it. But if it's the same people who worked on Ratchet Clank, then it's in good hands.
Yeah. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Jack and Daxter was also announced this year at E3. If it is, I might have a heart attack.
Whoa.
I might have a heart attack. Because that's one of my favorite games on the PlayStation was that. Sly Cooper, I did enjoy. I do enjoy the Sly Cooper games. I've played all of them.
Huh?
I did enjoy playing them, and I've played through every single one. And again, it's another really, really good game series. And I'm glad that they're getting movies. So, you know, video game movies have had the dubious distinction of being bad.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think this is another video game movie that we can actually put now in the good category.
Yeah.
I think this movie was done very well. Is it for everybody? No.
No.
But if you're a fan of video games, if you love Saturday morning cartoons and just movies that you can just turn your brain off and enjoy and love, just for pure entertainment and nothing else,
yeah,
this is definitely a movie for you. This is definitely a movie for you.
Yeah.
So, anything in closing about Ratchet & Clank that you want to add, or anything else you want to say about Ratchet & Clank?
No, just again, you know, it's a fun movie, one that doesn't take itself too seriously, and again, in a time where it seems like dark and gritty and serious films are, you know, just all over the place, it's good to see a film that really just... It's just a fun, entertaining film, and if you're a fan of video games, especially this video game franchise that is Ratchet Clank, then you're going to have yourself a great big time.
And there's bunches and bunches of nods to the original game, so if you're a fan of the game series, you'll get them. I've seen tons of things. I remember in one of the scenes, I saw the actual pause menu for Ratchet & Clank that showed all the different guns.
Yep.
I remember in another scene... there is a picture of one of the robots, a very important robot, and forgive me, I can't remember the name of those droids, but a very important robot to Ratchet & Clank Future in one of them. There's little hints and nods to the actual game. Even gameplay footage, even someone playing a video game.
Yep, that too.
You know, them showing getting the boxes and getting power ups and you know, I would say all the very popular guns are in the game. So anywhere from the Mr. Zircon, which is one of my favorites, Zircon. I love Mr. Zircon. I was so mad that he's a bad guy in this.
Yeah.
But I also loved the Buzz Blades and another one of my favorites. I loved it when you powered them up and they bounced all around and you could take out a whole army of bad guys just with one Buzz Blade. Yeah. They just keep bouncing.
Yep.
I remember, the Combustion, the Omni Wrench, which was the Omni Ratchet, which was my favorite.
Yeah.
One of my favorite weapons to use, and I would use it often.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, like I said before, for me...
I use it more often than the guns.
Yeah, same here, because, again, when I played the first game, I would occasionally use the guns, but I'm like, you know what, forget about it. I'm just going to go ahead and just use the Omni Wrench.
Right.
And just bash the bad guys that way.
So, I'm very excited to play the Ratchet & Clank movie, which is the video game based on the movie, which is based on the video game.
Yeah.
Which is their tagline for it, which is absolutely amazing.
Yep.
Because, again, they know that this is not completely serious.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it. I love the voice acting cast. One of the other people that played it was, and I can't remember her name. I've seen her in a lot of different places.
Rosario Dawson, or
The only other thing I can remember her being in was in that Disney Channel show. What was it called? With dancing, Step It Up, or
Gotta Kick It Up,
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But she was this redhead. She plays Cora, which was the girl. The girl Galactic Ranger.
Yeah.
So I love the new characters that they added in.
Yeah.
I love that they hinted at characters from other games.
Yeah.
And you get to see them in the crowd, and there's even one. I won't spoil this, but there's even one that shows up in the crowd, and then later on, if you wait until after the credits, which nobody did but us.
Yeah. Everybody else got up and took off, and
he actually pops up at the end, and he actually talks, which is great. And he's a character from a lot of the Ratchet and Clank games as well. So there's a lot to love about this movie. As long as you take it as a Saturday morning fun game, a fun movie that just is just pure entertainment and nothing else.
Yeah.
So as long as you remember that, you'll have fun with it. But if you're looking for a deep storyline, if you're looking for something to tug on your heartstrings or tug on your emotions,
it's not. But you know what? That's okay, because you know this kind of. I mean, what's great about it is that all the producers and I think pretty much everybody that worked on it, they pretty much said, "Look, this is a video game movie. It follows the material closely. It's based on these characters." And you know what? It is this is what it is, and we're not going to apologize about it.
But
so.
I think it's probably one of the first video game movies that follows the source material as closely as it could, and
yeah.
I did enjoy that very, very, very much. All right. I think that's all we have to say about Ratchet and Clank. So go see it if you like it, and if you did like it, if you didn't like it, please let us know. And you can follow us on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can message us on the website. You can reply to the post that this is on if you're listening to this on the site. If you're listening to this on YouTube, you can always comment below and let us know what you thought about the movie. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. Or you can follow me specifically at Tails FT Game Grid. Again, that's at Tails FT Game Grid. Please let us know, and we will definitely put your comments on our next podcast. So please, please, please make sure you comment, and we will definitely put your comments on the podcast. Now, Mr. Danny, the Ultrasonic Player, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Instagram under the pen name Ultrasonic9. And of course, I also write fan fiction on the side under the pen name Ultrasonic, so you can catch me there. And of course, you know, just come on over to the Arcade Archives and check out what we got. We got all kinds of things, blog posts, articles, special events,
web comics,
yeah. You name it, we got it. And if not, then you'll see something eventually.
You'll see it coming along. So just a few things on the site, just to quickly highlight. Just recently, I made a cameo on one of my favorite podcasts, Skywalking Through Neverland. You can actually go on the site now, and you can actually listen to that. Please do. I was very privileged to be able to do that. So please make sure you listen to that. We have the comic for this month up. Next month, well, I don't know exactly what we're going to have next month. But I'm sure it will be on. Eventually, yep. There will be something on the site.
Yep. Yeah, so something will come up.
Something will come up. So feel free to that, and just look for anything coming up on the site as well. You can also follow us on Instagram at Arcade, the Arcade Archives Network. You can look us up on there as well. Okay? So thank you guys so very much for joining us here for the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast, our monthly cartoon goodness podcast. So thank you so much for joining us here, and from myself, best wishes to all of you out there, and of course from Danny the Ultrasonic Player,
keep playing with power, because they're not keep playing like it's 1981.
Very good. Alright guys, thank you so much.
You are listening to a podcast on the Arcade Archives Network. If you like what you just heard, visit our website at arcadearchives.com, where you can check out our audio podcasts, articles, and announcements of upcoming events. You can also email us at arcadearchivesnetwork@gmail.com. You can also go to iTunes and download not just this podcast, but our other ones as well. And be sure to leave us 5-star reviews too while you're at it. So until next time, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.